The Monologue.
Speaking to Como TV, Kathy Lee, who owns the Fossil and Stone Gallery in Seattle, it's downtown. She says she's on the verge of closing.
I'm struggling to stay above water. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially.
She's breaking down because she yet again steps away from the mobile police unit. Her store got hit again. Three men shot through the window three times, stole three carvings on Sunday morning. And she's at the point not just of exhaustion there, as you could hear, almost giving up, but she has just had it.
When I reviewed the surveillance and saw that it was gunshots, that was really scary.
We were told that the crime crisis wasn't happening, and then, of course, we realized, oh, yes, it is. Leftists can lie about the situation all they want. They can blame COVID all they want, but we very clearly have a problem in the city of Seattle. It's gotten a little bit better, a little bit better, but a little bit is not going to cut it. We need to have it get cured. Will we never have any violence in Seattle? No. That won't happen. Unfortunately, there's always going to be some violence. But we could actually put resources and a positive messaging campaign around our police department so maybe, just maybe, we'll get people to want to become a cop again. And I know that is maybe wishful thinking for Seattle after the torment that the cops had to go through at the hands of the Seattle City Council and then the mayor. Because all Kathy wants is just some proactive policing.
I asked for just more police presence on this block. They're just a block away. And so if they could circle around at all hours when they are here, that would be nice.
See, that's the thing. Even if they were to circle, because she's making reference to, this is, remember in downtown Seattle when there was the shooting and all of the homeless people and drug addicts there, we decided as a city, or the mayor decided, I'm going to put cops there 24-7. Of course, the cops are not there 24-7. Certainly not six cops there 24-7, as I've reported multiple times. They are literally a block away, and you would think that just being a block away would mean the criminals won't pull out a gun and start shooting into your store. But that did not happen.
I think the city just needs to be cleaned up.
It does. Now, again, in fairness to this mayor, the new mayor, things have gotten cleaner. They have. They did that big stunt over the weekend where before they went out to clean the streets, they actually cleaned the streets so that the people who are volunteering didn't realize how bad it had gotten. But that's me nitpicking. It's gotten a lot cleaner. But we still have to empower the police to enforce the law. You still go just two blocks away from where she is on 3rd. You'll see a ton of people still smoking fentanyl out openly. And the city refuses to get involved. They could end this right now. They just need Bruce Harrell to have just a little bit more political courage to get them to do it. And so the mayor, who's already having some sweep success, tell the cops that they can arrest.
The interview.
Two nights ago in Lynwood, the Next Step Pregnancy Center was vandalized, presumably by a pro-abortion activist or group of activists. Joining me on the line is the director, Heather Vasquez. Heather, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you very much, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Take us through what happened.
Well, let's see. I think it was late, very late Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning, I should say. It sounds like one person that we could see on the video came by and just took it upon themselves to throw rocks and break 5 of our front windows and spray paint it all over the front door and the front walkway and then the back walkway and the wall. So in the dead of night, that's what they were, kind of dressed head to foot in black. So there's mm-hmm. definitely no ID. They wrote a bunch of stuff. And
what did they write?
A bunch of windows. On the front, they wrote kind of the tag phrase they've been using, which was that if abortion isn't safe, neither are you. And in the back, they wrote Jane's Revenge. So I think they were referring to Jane Roe, probably.
I'm going to guess that that's the case. This is a center mm-hmm. that does not promote abortion.
No, it says right on our website, we don't perform or refer for abortion.
Why?
It's just not... That's not what we do. That's not what we offer.
And is that why you think you were targeted?
I believe that we were targeted because our clinic, well, because a lot of people, and including maybe that person, is very misinformed and misguided about what really goes on in a pregnancy resource clinic. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what's really happening here, but none of them ever want to come in and, you know, be with us and see what really happens day to day. So
which
very misguided.
It's just so odd because it's not like you have anything to do with the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Like,
no,
you had no role in this.
We're just on the corner here doing what we do. So nothing, and again, it's Washington, so nothing's going to change in that arena anyway. We're just here doing our work and serving women that choose to come in to see us. That's all it is.
How did you feel when you got to the office after all of this had occurred?
Mostly, not really in shock or anything exactly, but it was mostly an annoyance just because, really, why? Really? And, you know, we stayed open the entire day, and we had several clients come in just like usual. It was almost a busier day than it normally is, and a lot of our clients walked in. They were shocked. They were like, hey, what happened? What's going on? And they couldn't understand why anybody would have a problem with us because of what we do. And then we had a bunch of guys, a local company, Trans Blue, that sent their guys out to help clean up. Mm. And so, again, I just felt more annoyed that, you know, well, they're just wasting everybody's time. We
exactly.
just got everything cleaned up and business as usual.
How much damage was done from just how much is it going to cost to fix the windows, for example?
The windows are probably, they're looking at about 5,000 or so, five
wow.
or 6,000.
I'm assuming you have 5,000.
Wrap and,
but I assume you have 5,000 just hanging out there to use for this, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, we have insurance, thank goodness. But we're run completely on donors. So all of everything, it's just completely on the generosity of businesses and individuals and people giving us the money to keep this place open. So,
and for
yeah,
people who want to donate,
yeah,
and for people who want to donate, it's nextstepnw.com. Check them out and consider a donation. Obviously, they're the target of what I consider, even though it's low level, I think this is domestic terrorism. This is intended
yeah.
to, you know, frighten you and I guess stop you from doing the work to help mothers stay healthy. It's a,
yeah.
it's an odd attack in the name of feminism, I guess. What have the police said?
It is. The police, well, unfortunately, there wasn't much to go on with our footage. As I said, the person was pretty covered up. So there's not a lot to go on, and no cars were around. So I just hope it doesn't happen again, only because we got other things going on. Other important things in the world are happening. We don't have time for this. I mean, if they're really that pro-choice, I don't understand why they don't care, why they care what we're doing. If a
yeah.
woman chooses to come here and get our assistance, she made a choice for life. So why can't she go where she wants to go?
No, well said. If you could, just give us the elevator pitch. What do you do at the Next Step Pregnancy mm-hmm. Center?
We have licensed, registered nurses, so we are an actual medical clinic. We have a medical director and nurses, and we do early OB ultrasounds, pregnancy tests. We do prenatal care. We've got resources for anything and everything. We've got clothes, diapers, strollers, formula, if anybody's having trouble with formula, which is a huge thing right now, through generous donors, we've got some formula if people are looking. So we're just, yeah, and everything is completely free. So it's free of charge. Absolutely everything.
Again, the website is nextstepnw.com. Nextstepnw.com. It's the Next Step Pregnancy Center. We've been talking
yeah.
with the director, Heather Vasquez. Heather, thank you so much for talking to us. I'm sorry this happened to you. Know that the vast majority of people, regardless, frankly, of their position on abortion, think that this is ludicrous, absurd, dangerous, outrageous, and should
yeah.
never happen, not anywhere in this country. So know that we're behind you.
Well, thank you very much, Jason, for having me on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
Now this.
The interview.
Although I don't know if he's still in the pokey, we turn now to our friend Jack Posobiec from Turning Point USA, who's been covering the World Economic Forum live this week. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason, thanks so much for having me back on. Yeah, I'm out of the gulag for now, but you know what they say, never say never.
Well, take us through what happened. I'm glad to know that this is not your only phone call if they allow that there.
Oh, Jason, you know that, you know, if I had one phone call, of course it would be to the Pope, but second would be you. So for this situation, and it's amazing because both PolitiFact and Reuters are now coming at me and saying that, oh, this wasn't a detention. You're being hyperbolic. I said, okay, well, here's what happened. And folks, you can you decide for yourselves whether or not this was constitutes a detention. We're filming on the side of the road out front of the World Economic Forum headquarters. We're preparing to, you know, do our reports as usual. We get approached by plainclothes police officers. They ask us our IDs and they ask us our press passes. We say, sure, here you go. Take a look. This is us. No problem. No big deal. Happens all the time when you're covering high secure events. Totally understand that. About an hour goes by. We do some more recording, film some stand-ups, just, you know, doing the work. Go and wait until we turn our cameras off and set them to charge on a nearby table at this sort of outside of this sort of like a supermarket, basically. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we get swarmed by two minivans full, paddy wagons, really, full of a quick response force, a QRF, of heavily armed officers who surround us with MP5s and badges that read World Economic Forum Police and tell us that we can't leave, tell us that we have to give our names and our papers yet again, need to explain what we're doing there, and all of our bags are searched, our vehicle is searched, and we are put up against the side of the building and frisked individually one by one by crew.
Oh, my God.
And myself.
And so you what were you thinking at that point? I mean, was this just sort of a shocking, what in the world is going on right now?
Well, to be quite honest, I was thinking, how do I get footage of this?
No, you and I think exactly alike.
because I knew it would be one of those situations where just understanding how the world works these days, if I come out and it's my word against the police, they are never going to believe me. So I start filming with my camera, hold it up to the point where, you know, one officer gets pretty upset. And so I wrote it. I pushed the envelope as far as I could with that one. Knocked that down. Then we had actually my brother and my wife were nearby, but on the other side of the conference when this was happening, they were checking out some of the exhibits relating to Ukraine. The Ukraine war was a huge part of the WEF. So I text them and say, guys, you need to get here. You need to run as fast as possible. At that point, my brother ran over. My wife, Savannah Hernandez, who is over with the Rebel, came individually, saw them running and said, hey guys, what's going on? They said, Jack's detained. And so she started running as well. And when they finally arrived, that's where we got the bulk of our footage.
Wow. So how did this resolve?
So incredibly enough, Savannah runs up, and she's a great independent journalist, runs up, starts confronting. At this point, a detective is now over, you know, trying to separate us, trying to see if we'll break our story, running the same basic, you know, really actually low-level interrogation type stuff that they teach you in I was Navy Intelligence and stationed at Guantanamo. So she was running some pretty low-level tricks to try to see if we would, you know, change up our story, separate us, isolate us, see if under questioning we'll say different things without others present, etc. Savannah runs up, starts confronting them. Why is he detained? Why are these people detained? What's going on? Sticks the camera in their faces. At that point, they completely fold, run back into their paddy wagons, and then disappear into the confines of the World Economic Forum.
Wow. Why do you think they targeted you?
Well, I can only surmise that in the time that it took for them to go from having checked my papers initially to when they waited until we had our cameras off when they rolled up on us, I can only imagine they looked up who we were. They looked up Turning Point USA, and obviously people can see that Turning Point is a fully registered nonprofit organization within the confines of the United States, completely legal organization that operates as a 501c3. And so they came, but they realized that we were reporting on their event from a critical perspective. Mm-hmm. And then somehow that turned into, oh, well, maybe these guys are suspicious. We need to go and give them another once over. It was an intimidation operation. That's exactly what it was.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Obviously, I'm glad they released you. We're talking with Jack Posobiec from Turning Point USA. If you could, what are you seeing? What are some of the themes at the World Economic Forum? It kind of feels like people are familiar with what it is from a name recognition perspective, but don't really know what it actually is from a content perspective.
Well, what people need to understand is that this place, it is the absolute smugness and pretension levels are off the chart. I mean, you want to talk, this is the hoity-toity of the hoity-toity. These people who have no self-awareness, they fly in on the private jets and then hold these meetings deciding how they're going to run the world. They talk about how they're going to be in charge of your economy. They're going to talk about how they're going to be in charge, essentially, of the world economy. They're going to shape it to their will. They're going to be in charge of our environment and our energy, apparently, as well. Certainly warfare, as I mentioned, the Ukraine war has been a huge, huge point of topic for this. Everyone on the same page in terms of that, with the exception, extremely notable exception of Henry Kissinger, who came in and called for rapprochement, called for de-escalation, and called for a negotiated peace with Russia, pointing out that China is a greater threat to the world than Russia, and we might just need Russia as a balance against China. That didn't go over very well with the global elites there. And then the third prong of all of this, of course, was medical freedom. This idea that, now keep in mind, they don't even talk about Bill Gates giving a, you know, a speech on the next, what he called the next pandemic, Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, going up and speaking with Klaus Schwab, the founder of the WF, multiple times. And really, they're talking about all of their grand designs for what happens during the next pandemic. And keep in mind, Jason, and we spent one day over in Geneva where we drove down. It's about 3 hours drive. But the World Health Organization is also holding their their international assembly concurrently with the Davos Forum. So we went over to Geneva, and that really is, look, people think that the New York City UN headquarters is the UN. That's the face. The real engine, the machinery of the UN, that's all in Geneva. And the World Health Organization is a huge part of this, part and parcel. They were holding their meeting inside the Palace of Nations, the former League of Nations building. And in there, they're all talking about holding these hearings, discussing IHR's international health regulations, and then eventually moving towards, it looks, about 2024 timeline of a global pandemic treaty.
So very quickly, we have about a minute left. Based on everything you covered during this event, what's the state of globalism?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because when you're in the event, it looks as though they are not going anywhere. They are full steam ahead. They do not view themselves with any bit of critical awareness. They don't view themselves with any bit of humility in any way. And so for them, it's full steam ahead. They are going to ride this ship all the way as far as they can. Trump, and keep in mind, this is trumped up on funny money that's been printed by the Fed, that's been lended through these BlackRock, Blackstone money market institutions and similar setups in other countries, right? They're living, quite literally, these events are being held off of the backs of the hard work and labor of the regular people, the normals. You know, we used to call that the 99% and the 1%. But you notice that ever since wokeness came about, we never seem to talk about it like that anymore.
Yeah, how odd is that? Jack Posobiec is the host of Human Events Daily. You can check it out at tpusa.com. tpusa.com. He's with Turning Point USA. Thank you so much, Jack, for stopping by. Appreciate it.
God bless you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Now this.
The Jason Rant Show.
Jason Rant has followed that in detail. He's a radio host in Seattle. He broke the story. He joins us now.
Never shy of his opinion. Jason, definitely letting you know how he feels about that.
Wow. You laid that down.
Long Form, presented by Northgate Rare Coins and Precious Metals.
My colleague over at Cairo News Radio, Dave Ross, has a commentary up this morning all about the shooting, the mass shooting, the mass murder in Texas. And it has to do with the idea of potentially arming teachers. The title is "The Problem with the Just Arm the Teachers Argument to Prevent School Shootings." Rather than go through the argument myself, I will actually talk to the person who is behind it, Dave Ross.
That's very nice.
So make your big picture point before we get into some of the details.
Just that there were officers there, including officers from the Border Patrol, the school resource officer, and they couldn't stop the guy from going into the school and barricading himself in a classroom. And so my question is, if people who are armed and trained and dedicated can't do that, how would you expect a teacher with a gun to do any better?
So what is then your main argument, that we should not be potentially arming teachers who are qualified and trained, or is it that nothing can be done?
No, it's not at all because nothing can be done.
Right. I mean, the point idea is to cops not being able to do it is...
Yeah, I mean, the idea is to prevent it before it gets to that stage.
Yeah.
The problem with letting the shooter get into the school and then addressing the problem is that he kills kids first. So in every one of these cases, and including this case, we see the red flags, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was having severe conflict with his mom for some reason, and his grandparents too. For some reason, the grandparents didn't know that he had the gun. He'd been living with them, and they didn't know that. I find that hard to believe. But they certainly knew this was a kid in trouble and apparently didn't go to get help. Now, that's all I know. Maybe you know more. I don't. But what I know,
there's been very little that's come out so far.
Right.
Apparently, he didn't have any mental health issues that have been documented, at least, or at least found
exactly.
to be documented.
So all the things the system is designed to catch, like the mental health issues, although in Texas, they haven't got an ERPO law, right? So the circumstances would be different here. In any case, nobody spoke up. And so all we have left to do in a case like that is to take some broad strokes, which is that maybe it's a bad idea for it to be so easy for an 18-year-old to get a gun.
Because of an instance in which someone abused it. A 42-year-old
right.
could be in exactly the same
Absolutely.
Position. So what?
So we have to
work
with,
I don't understand the
it's
logic
like,
behind
it's,
that.
It's like we have with vaccines, we have to work with statistics. So mm-hmm. there might be some individual side effects, but broadly, big picture, if you want to save the country, you got to do something about it. So the only thing we have left to work with here are the statistics that indicate that most of these shooters are young men, that a large proportion of them
mass
are
shooters.
Between mass shooters, right, are between 18 and 21. And so in Washington State and other states, we've raised the age to make it not impossible, but a little more difficult. What I'd prefer, and I think I mentioned this too, is frankly for the people who sell weapons to voluntarily do a little more to take the initiative, to exercise their right, which I understand is absolute, not to sell to anybody they don't want to.
Correct.
And why you are free.
And they stop, by the way. There have been instances here, in fact, in Linwood before they closed
yeah.
down.
Well, I mean, there was that, I forget what it was now, but one of the guys back east, maybe it was the one who shot up the congressional baseball game, who tried to get a gun at one store, and he just creeped the gun, you know, mm-hmm. the owner out and says, no, I'm not selling you a gun. A lot of these gun shop owners, as I understand it, are like ex-cops. So they sort of have that sixth sense. And I would love it if they'd form a coalition or get together, and if they don't want the government involved, set up their own no-buy list, their own database, and use social media if necessary. If the girlfriend in Germany, right, saw this guy was posting things, I'm not sure how far in advance of the shooting these things went up.
15 minutes is the timeline.
Well, then,
so that obviously would not.
All right, well, that's not going to help in this case.
In this particular case. But, I mean, so there are two separate issues, right? There are the clear red flags that, at least in retrospect, seem like clear red
yeah.
flags. And there's certainly cases where only in retrospect can you look at a post and say, oh, okay, that's what this individual meant. But your point of just saying an 18-year-old can't get a gun or shouldn't get a gun or shouldn't easily get a gun, I don't necessarily understand. You point out in your piece that we should be doing training, for example. Well, Washington State has a law right now that requires training. So
in training for?
For these AR-15s,
oh,
semi-automatic
yeah.
weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, that is currently the law. And you take an issue with, you know, the idea, because you know the argument comes back, well, why can 18-year-olds fight but mm-hmm. not be able to then get a gun on their own?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because when an
18-year-old
signs up for the Army, the recruiter doesn't hand them a gun and say, okay, go and defend the country.
There's training.
There's training.
Okay, well, there's training in Washington
head,
State.
There's training, yeah. Is it like military training? Is it training that...
it's not a military weapon.
Okay. Okay, fine.
I mean, but I mean, right? It's not a military weapon. An AR-15 or
this
any
guy
of the other
is using
style.
It, ends up using it as a military weapon.
Well, no, he ends up using it to murder children.
Yeah,
that's not
exactly
a military
right.
weapon.
Yeah.
You can do exactly the same. If we're talking about kids, especially, or anyone who's vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
someone who is an elderly individual, yeah, you can bring a handgun and also inflict damage.
So
there's
we're
no
going
doubt
to the
about
argument,
it.
We're going to the argument
with,
that the reason we would want a policy to give any kid any 18-year-old a military-style weapon is because 18-year-olds can fight. I don't know. What is it?
That's what you're using it. I don't use that language because here's my
impression.
What's
an AR-15 for?
An AR-15
what was
is
it designed
for whatever
for?
I know.
No,
you're
what was
gonna
it designed
say,
for?
It, well, it wasn't designed for war because it's not used in war. No
that's
soldiers.
Nonsense.
That is not nonsense. What you're, I
used
saw
that
your point.
In the piece.
Yeah, which is so disingenuous. And I love you. So I say that first. That's disingenuous. You took issue. You're claiming that an AR-15 is a weapon of war because a Florida gun manufacturer donated 200, yes. I think, AR-15s to the Ukrainians.
It was requested by them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't.
So they think it's going to help them shoot Russians. But this is the way the argument always goes on talk radio.
Hold on.
Now we're going to talk about describing the gun. How would you stop this from happening?
This in particular, I would do multiple things. So
okay,
the first thing that I think we mostly all agree on, one point of entry for soft targets.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a reasonable first step?
One point of entry means that if there
you
is an attack.
You can get in. It's a locked door.
Mm-hmm.
You can only get in one place. So that you can't just get in from other places.
And there's always a guard there.
There could always be. I think there should always be.
Does that mean there's only one exit, or there are multiple exits?
No, there are multiple exits. We have in this building, for example, one point of entry.
Right.
We have multiple exits.
Right.
We can actually go out the entry.
Okay.
So that's one thing that we can do.
Well, there was one point of entry here. Which
it was unlocked.
It was unlocked. Okay.
So, number one, you got to have security on campus.
Okay.
You really do. And we kind of just skip over that. And I'm not entirely sure I understand
why. The other thing
we're
skipping over here is that there's really no protection. And I think that this is a point a lot of people have made against somebody who doesn't care if he gets killed.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the case with literally any weapon. So if he took a car and he mowed kids down in a park. We wouldn't say we have to make it harder for an 18-year-old or 16-year-old to get a license because we already have rules in place.
Car and guns, I reject the whole argument that cars and guns are equivalent. Well, the car has a use besides killing people.
Oh, so a gun doesn't have a use besides killing people.
No, it doesn't. If a gun cannot kill a person, why would you buy one? So if you bought a gun that was just like a prop gun.
You understand that there's obviously sport involved as well. Hunting is involved as well.
No,
plenty
of never. Of course there is. There's sport involved in well. But you can buy.
But you're saying
you can
the
have
only reason behind a gun is to kill someone. That's
so the
obviously
reason that we make
true.
Guns easy to buy is so that people can do target shooting?
The reason why we make guns easy to buy is because, number one, there's a constitutional amendment to
right. The reason for that is because we have to have guns in case our government goes rogue so we can shoot members of the U.S. Army.
No, that's obviously not the case.
Well, then what is it for? What are you talking – when you talk about the Second Amendment
– the Second Amendment extends well beyond, although I certainly concede that the intent is about personal protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Supreme Court has decided this – throughout
the Second Amendment was about the militia. That's how it begins.
The Second Amendment was based upon a pre-founding position of the right to gun ownership for personal protection. Before the founding,
nobody
of this
believes that.
But that's the facts. Before the Constitution even was
existed. People who wrote the Constitution were fighters.
Your argument,
they were fighters.
Yes. And how many times did they have to fight
to be armed to fight the British to get them?
Were
off
they
our
only
property?
Fighting the British, or were there instances in which people
they're fighting
were using,
the Indians? They were relocating
using guns,
the Indians,
including.
Yes.
They were using guns, including against people who posed them risk.
You're
not disputing the fact that personal gun ownership existed before the Second Amendment.
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that was not just purely to protect against the British, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, so it was done for protection and also for hunting, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the
so
main
then,
reason
then,
that's in the Constitution is what? They
for
wanted
protection.
To make sure.
Yeah, for protection.
They were worried, but they were also worried about a government gone rogue.
Correct.
There was a big debate over whether we should have a president or a king. They were worried about big government because
absolutely.
They had experience with England. And so what that means in the current context, and a lot of people believe this, is that we have to have not just hunting weapons. Mm-hmm. You don't need an AR to, you know, kill deer. The reason you have a gun like that is in case the U.S. government goes rogue and tries to take my stuff. And that means shooting at the U.S. Army.
Dave Ross is joining me in studio. He is from our sister station, Cairo News Radio. We're going to continue this debate. We often don't hear these kinds of debates, nor do we hear this perspective on KTTH all that often. So I'm curious to continue the conversation. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. In lieu of the quick hit and last rants, we continue our conversation with Dave Ross from our sister station, Cairo News Radio. So, Dave, if we were ever to actually get invaded, although I find that to be very hard to believe, it's certainly possible. And I'm assuming that Ukrainians didn't think that Russians would invade them.
As
the
I
way
pointed
that
out
did.
In the piece, we are prepared for a Russian invasion in this country. We have all the weapons we need for that.
No, I knew that was a very passive aggressive way to do that. But the point is, why not just say you want to ban guns?
Because I want to make sure
then why that's wouldn't true. You want
well, you give okay, that well, power only to certain people who can be trusted with it. That's the whole idea.
Who can be trusted?
You don't
with
give it with murderers. You give it people who are trained, people who don't have an anger management problem, people who are old
okay,
enough.
Hold on. Yeah. So that's an important point.
Yeah.
Because of privacy laws having to do with mental health and whatnot, you can't really get at that. So we have to address that part first.
Be careful where you go with the argument, because if you say there's no way to predict whether people have an anger management problem, you yourself are going to have to go into a position where we have to ban guns. Because if
I don't hold the position that we should be banning guns. I do hold the position that if we can do anything within the law that prevents people who should not have a gun based on a mental health issue, then I
just mental health or people who are, you know, you wouldn't give a gun to a 4-year-old.
I would not give a gun to a 4-year-old the same way that I wouldn't give
a car to a 4-year-old,
but that one's not a protection.
8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old.
To sell a gun to a child? No, I wouldn't.
Okay, why not?
Because they're
it's just
child.
A tool.
Yeah.
And it's not dangerous unless it's in the wrong
hand. No one's arguing it's not
dangerous, but I mean, so
right?
What we're getting to is there should be an age limit, right?
Yeah, there is an age limit.
Okay, good. What should it be?
18.
And what? Why?
Because that's when society has determined that these kids are no longer kids, that they're now adults.
For some things, not for all things.
For some things, but from a federal level.
Why should the age limit for a gun be, you know, sort of lower than the age to drink or higher than the age to drink?
Maybe the age to drink should be lower, as it is in many other countries. Now, if you want to argue that 21 should be the age, okay, I think that is a valid
argument. At what age should you be entrusted with a weapon that can mow down a classroom full of kids?
Any weapon can mow down a classroom
full of kids.
All right,
then at what age should you be trusted with any weapon?
18.
Really? Oof, okay.
What age should you be trusted with voting, which then it puts in people in
voting
power?
Voting doesn't murder people. That's nonsense.
Oh, really?
You're going to compare it to voting?
Yeah, of course I'm going to compare it to voting, because you have a constitutional right to be able to cast that vote, right?
This is one of those legalistic arguments that's meaningless.
Really?
We're talking about killing people.
Hold on. You are complaining about certain laws surrounding gun ownership.
Yeah.
Who puts the people in positions of power to create those laws? The voters. So let's not pretend that voting has no connection whatsoever to public safety issues. Of course
it does.
Right,
we're talking about voting itself, but the right to vote and the right to own a gun.
And puts, yes, you have the right to vote, and you have
the right
to
own a gun. There are a lot of people who I trust
to
vote, but I would not trust with a weapon that could kill everybody in the building.
Yeah, again, any weapon can kill anyone in any building.
Then there are some people
I
would trust with the right to vote, but I would not trust them with any weapon.
Yeah, but that's not how the Constitution works. As I can say, I don't trust many people.
Well, the Constitution is not a death pact, as the founders said. So if there are problems with the Constitution, it needs to be amended.
So then change it.
All right. Exactly. I'm glad I heard that.
But no one is doing it. Oh, no. Hold on.
So you're okay with changing the Constitution?
No, I'm okay with you trying to change the Constitution.
Okay.
I'll disagree. Oh. But I'm not opposed to having conversations and debates about these things. What I hear from a lot of folks on the left on gun rights issues is that we have to have reasonable gun right laws. But they don't tell us what it is. Sometimes they do, and sometimes it is reasonable, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's clearly unconstitutional, and sometimes it's not. So put that on the table. Democrats right now have control of the Senate, have control of the House, have control of the White House.
They don't have control of the Senate.
They do have control of the Senate. When you throw in Kamala, which party is the majority?
You need 10 Republican votes to control the Senate. 10 more than they've got.
Okay,
you know,
so they have no power whatsoever. So they're except for
you can't say they control the Senate because they don't.
Well, but they do. They can call any vote
on
right?
paper. Yeah, they can call any vote.
They
and
can
lose
call
them.
Any vote
and lose every
it.
One
sure.
of them. Yeah.
So why not put something on paper, introduce it, and then have Republicans vote no, as they did with the abortion bill 2 weeks
good,
ago.
Fine, but I mean.
But at least that's
I'm
a debate.
I'm proposing that the government doesn't even do it. I'm saying
but that's
we
a debate.
Do this
should
ourselves.
We, yeah, but should we not have a debate on specific policies?
Well, there's no point in debating something that's not going to happen. So we know that it's not going to pass the
So 2 weeks ago, the Democrats pursued the abortion bill that they knew wasn't going to pass.
So they could put it in their brochures, yeah.
Okay, so they could put it
in. But I'm not talking about abortion now. We're talking about guns.
You know, we're talking about a different kind of killing, of course. But I'm saying this idea that they wouldn't put that out because, well, it's not going to pass. Well, guess what? It could start a national conversation around a specific idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally okay with that. Even if it fails, and by the way, depending on what the idea is, maybe I'm in support of it. It's not like I'm not a gun absolutist. I don't hold that position on pretty much anything. But I do want to actually have a debate. And when we go to, well, we're either going to just say this nebulous reasonable gun control without actually explaining what it is, that doesn't get us anywhere. It gets us literally nowhere.
Well, I can't speak for the Democrats are doing. All I know is
but we could start at a place where there is general agreement.
Yeah, or oppose. Extreme risk protection orders.
Yeah, if you can do that in a way that actually doesn't violate due process, and I think there's
a fine
line.
We're doing it in Washington State.
Yes, I think for the most part we are doing it successfully in Washington. Not always, but that's why you have a judge that gets involved.
Right.
I'm not against the red flag laws, generally speaking. It would depend on how it's written in all the other states. If you want to do a federal version of that, same thing. Let's see how it's actually written.
I'd prefer not to do a federal version so we can do an experiment and see whether whether states that have them have a lower rate of mass shootings and states that don't. The problem with this is that, and I think you would agree to this, statistically, it's still very small. So that we're talking about so many unknowns.
Yeah, mass shootings are
very
small.
Difficult.
Yeah, but mass shootings, they don't, as much as people want to pretend, they don't happen at schools very often, thank God. Yeah. That's why we know the names of the schools that have been impacted by this. So we clear the reason why I push back,
how about this?
On the AR-15 is that handguns are used to kill people more often, way more often than AR-15s. So would that argument extend to the handguns?
Yeah, well, as you point out, a weapon's a weapon. Any weapon can kill a room full of people. So, yes, we'd have to account for all weapons. But here's the thing that I'm thinking. Maybe if we can't agree on what to do, we can agree on who should decide what to do. And since we now have quite a few families who've been through this, why don't we collect the families who have actually lost somebody in school shooting at Sandy Hook, at Stoneman Douglas?
Yeah, Ryan Petty is on this show pretty frequently, who lost his daughter.
And bring them together and have them come up with something that they think would work, regardless of what the laws say, regardless of what the Constitution says, something they think would work, and see if you can get acceptance for that.
I think they've done some of those things. I mean, Ryan Petty, for example, is a good example of focusing on the security infrastructure and architecture of schools. Mm-hmm. Which, again, that seems non-controversial. And I don't know why there can't be at least a bridge on that. Doesn't it seem like so we have ideological perspectives and constitutional limitations.
Well, I'm fine with that if people are willing to pay for it. I mean, it's...
We just put how many billions of dollars into schools COVID that has not been used? But my point is...
That's fine.
So that is... But isn't that a starting point or no?
Absolutely.
Well, then why isn't anyone talking about it on the left? Because I'm hearing it, and you're certainly, you hear it from the right. I'm saying, why don't we hear about that from the left? About security. They've flatly rejected that.
I've said we should have airport rules everywhere. Heck, I'd turn entire cities into airport zones, just have the TSA frisk us all. Polling places? What do you mean?
Would we have that at polling stations?
Well, I suppose there's a polling station inside a city, and we had airport rules for the city. Yeah.
Okay, but are you against voter ID?
Against voter ID? Yeah. You have to give ID to register.
Aren't you against vote?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, so you're in because that's a bridge that we've built.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
I mean,
but Democrats would never allow for that.
Actually, when they started passing these laws for voter ID in places like Georgia, I said the Democrats should just educate people. I mean, radically obey the law.
They had record
turnout.
And
they had record turnout in Georgia. So, yeah, that's fine. But
I'll give you the last word. We got 20 seconds.
That's what I would say. I'd say get the survivors together. Ask them what would make them feel better about sending their kid back to school again.
There you go. That might be a good debate for another show.
You think so?
That's Dave Ross from our sister station, Cairo News Radio. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.